Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsession
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Kathy Ladman intro. Hi, it's Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. You know the websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com, FamilyPetAncestry.com. I like a URL, you guys. This is the program, Dork on Dork Dialogue. My name's Jackie Cation. Let's do the credits. Mike Rickberg composed and sang that song you just heard. He will sing his lyrics to the Mexican Hat Dance at the end of the program. Patrick Brady's going to fix this audio, and Vilmos does my website, JackieCation.com. DorkForest.com just has the episodes. It has the bonus and the episode. You can also listen to it on iTunes, and you can review the show on iTunes, and there are comments available on DorkForest.com right now, which is a WordPress document that is relatively new. So, and I'm trying to do pictures on there, too. So everything's on that. There's an app if you enjoy a specific Dork Forest app. But the bonus that was going to be on the app is just on the it's on the Libsyn page now. And I bring it over to the WordPress, thedorkforest.com. JackieCation.com has everything. Both Dork Forest and Jackie Cation have a donation button. Feel free to donate, folks. Knock yourselves out. If you enjoy the program, I'd love to get $100 a year from everybody. If you don't have $100, I get that. If you want to do $10 a month, I have not made that easy. But if you're listening to the show every month, you get to hear this. Feel free to donate $10 a month for 10 months. And then November, December, we do something else. Yeah, just use the donation button. You can also use the Amazon banner on JackieCation.com, which just brings you to Amazon. When you order from Amazon, the Dork Forest gets a bit of a kickback, and that's a way to donate to the show as well and help the show. On JackieCation.com, there's a bunch of merch. You can get a Ranger of the Dork Forest t-shirt. You can get just the Dork Forest t-shirt. You can get my stand-up albums, which are Circus People, It's Never Gonna Be Bread, and This Will Make an Excellent Horcrux. You can also get a Horcrux DVD. And you can get a Spooky Reading Girl t-shirt, which is a stand-up joke that I do about reading, because I'm a dork. So that is all available on the website. This week, I am on the road. I'm just doing one night in Nevada City, California, opening for Maria Bamford. So if you are in the central northern part of California, which is a very large state, I'll be in Nevada City with Maria Bamford. Check my website or hers, MariaBamford.com, for that. And then next week, I'm headlining outside of Seattle in Kirkland at Laughs. All right, enough. I think that's it. No? What the heck? How about allthingscomedy.com? They're my umbrella group of podcasters. So if you're looking for more pods, go to allthingscomedy.com and check out one of their... They have a bunch of other podcasts. And I'm also doing another podcast just about stand-up comedy with Lori Kilmartin over on the Nerdist website. So it's called The Jackie and Lori Show. I'll be the Jackie in that. But let's dork out already. Dork, dork, dork. Let's do it. Hey, it's Jackie Cation. Welcome to my living room in the Dork Forest. I'm with Kathy Ladman, longtime fan, Kathy Ladman.
Oh, longtime fan of you, Jackie Cation. I remember the first time I saw you.
What? Minneapolis?
I believe it was in...
Some Hanson gig?
It was in the St. Paul...
The Galtier Plaza?
Yes,
possibly?
I believe that's kind of where my memory is. I remember you wearing... You know what you were wearing.
God knows.
A plaid shirt.
Oh, was I wearing that? I still have that plaid shirt. It was a time when I just, I didn't really get it. You got to move to Los Angeles and it's on the wind where they're like, hey, that is super butch. No one will be surprised at all when it's, and I thought it was cute. Right. And no doubt it is. I bought a tie about a month ago, a Gryffindor tie when we were at the Harry Potter World.
Oh, right, right.
And I put it on and I sent a picture to my husband and he said, seems a little butch. And I said, it's a tie. It's going to be butch. But you look super cute though. And I was like, well, you are very supportive.
Oh, that's sweet.
It is very. So Kathy Ladman, yes. Ladman, mm-hmm. With Kathy with a C, KathyLadman.com, at Kathy Ladman, stand-up comic. The last TV set I saw of yours was that amazing Ferguson set.
Which one? I'm sorry.
Didn't you do Ferguson?
Yes.
About the weight loss thing?
Yes. I've done it since then, but that was the one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that was the one that I did, in
probably 2 years ago.
2014. Yeah. August of 2014. Yeah. I was really, that was a big turning point for me, that doing that set.
Cause you just talked, you were like, let's just talk about
it. I talked about it, but you know, it's not, you know, I'm getting ready to put up my show finally.
You got a solo show or?
Yes. Called Does This Show Make Me Look Fat? And it's about the title might be the funniest thing. I don't know, but it's about my eating disorder. And that's like, the kind of stuff that I'm doing in the show is really not comedy club stuff.
Right.
A lot of it's funny, but it's not a comedy club show.
Right.
And what I wanted to do, what I did for the Ferguson set, is I took whatever I could out of the show that lent itself to a comedy set.
Yeah.
And then I surrounded it with related material on getting older and image and body image and that kind of stuff. And it meant a lot to me. And I knew it was a good place to do it because, you know, Craig was,
really supportive.
And he's a recovering alcoholic and, you know, and talked to me about that when he was in treatment. We talked about that on the panel and he said he would sit with an anorexic woman at dinner. And it was all very, very interesting and a very, gratifying experience.
Yeah. It was cool to watch. And it's always weird to me that he talks about being in recovery, because I, to my knowledge, there's this anonymity that's supposed to happen.
Well,
but I don't know what I'm in, and I don't, it's none of my business. So I try not to give it too much of a,
the anonymity is to not, as I understand it, is to not reveal what you speak about or whom you, with whom you speak.
Oh,
and whom
see,
you see,
I thought it
meetings.
Was, I thought the anonymity part of it was in case you dropped the ball and started partying like a crazy person, then anybody could point to it and go, oh, look what doesn't work.
That is, I think that is part
that doesn't,
of it.
Yeah, whatever, recovery doesn't work, you might as well just give up and eat a bullet.
But see how I feel, and I don't even exactly, I don't even know if I have the right to feel this way, but I feel that by showing your recovery, that it gives people hope,
and permission to do it.
That that outweighs the possibility of someone dropping out.
Right. Well, I think it also.
But people could argue with me.
Right.
Know.
I mean, there are as many opinions about that as you like. You know, so it's all good. And I don't. I like that he doesn't. He's not super heavy handed about it. You know. I mean, everyone I know.
No, he's not
who's
proselytizing
out,
or anything.
Right.
Like that.
Right. Everyone who I know is sort of out about being in recovery is pretty gentle about it. You know, mm-hmm. Marin and he's out about it, mm-hmm. and Craig is out about it, and Hardwick is out about being sober but not in recovery. Mm-hmm. Not in any sort of, he's doing it solo. He's just doing it with family.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And some people play it much closer to the vest, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's
my personal. Brother Terry hasn't drank in like 40 years, and he credits the Jesus.
All right. That's another program.
Right. The meanest Jesus, though. It's a lot.
Oh, really?
It's unfortunate. I would like Terry.
Is it a punishing thing?
It's a punishing Jesus, and it's full of rage. It's really sad, and it's, and I would call it sad if I didn't have to talk to him, and then it's exasperating and irritating.
I mean, it's like Cruz. I mean, it's like somebody who like is pushing, pushing, even insidiously. You
Tom
know,
like Cruise?
Yes,
like fair
Tom
enough.
Cruise.
Nice. I like
Cruise. It's like cruise ships, but no, like what he said. You know, when he asked him a question about, I can't even remember what the question was, but he says, well, I'm sure we'll all be praying about it. Like, excuse me. Hello.
People who
don't tell me.
Please don't make me pray about something.
Oh my God. So, nothing irritates me as much as someone telling me what I'm going to be doing.
Really? You don't enjoy a great deal of bossiness? Okay. Here's what I like to do is I like to talk about people's dorkdoms.
Go ahead. And, I know. I'm commandeering.
No, I weed it off almost immediately. Okay. I usually get into it and then I weed off.
Okay.
There's
so much to talk about.
I like to break it up. Yeah. And we haven't seen each other in ages.
I know. I mean, not in a substantial way, certainly.
I quote one of your jokes all the time to both Maria Bamford and my husband, mm-hmm. Andy Ashcraft, because you do this thing about how sex as you get older. It's just a wrestling match of who gets to be on the bottom. Remember that bit?
Me?
Yeah. I saw you do it at some weird Tom Hanson four wall. Yeah.
Oh my God! I don't even remember that.
Write it down, sister, because
sure?
It was funny.
Was
I'm dead certain.
Oh my
Minneapolis.
God. Another thing about sex when you're getting older is you don't remember your material about it. Oh my God. I have no memory of it.
I've quoted it with Kilmartin on the Jackie and Laurie show.
Are you sure that was all? You're absolutely certain.
I'm absolutely certain because I was watching God. You. You had been in Minneapolis for weeks. I think with your parents.
Right.
And
with my in-laws.
Yeah. Or with your in-laws. Yes. Yeah. Cause of Tom. And then,
Well, we lived there for 16 months.
Right, you lived there. Yeah. And so you were doing this show for Tom Hansen, like, a lot.
Oh, right.
So I bet you don't remember a half an hour of that material.
I'm sure I don't.
Yeah, so what the hell? But it's a great
bit. I know
bit.
Where it was, too. Oh, God, that was loud. Sorry. It was at a Holiday Inn in
Sure
St.
it was.
Paul.
Why wouldn't it be, Tom Hansen? And God love you.
Yes.
And so... That guy should have had a bait shop. That's all he ever wanted. You know, Tom Hansen, all he ever wanted in Minnesota was a bait shop.
But so many club owners shouldn't have been in comedy.
Right. Well, and it's fun because, I mean, he did the best he could, and he's not really doing it anymore, but he genuinely, I think Scott, his brother, got him into it. Yeah. And then he's like, well, it's a job. I guess I'll just do this.
It's a family business.
It's a family business. I can still have dogs. And you're like, Tom, just open a bait shop and live your life.
I hope he's happy now because he had a lot of
He remarried. Yeah, he remarried.
Oh, good.
And he's living down in Kentucky.
Good.
So he is good. Hi, Tom. You're listening to The Dark Forest, aren't you? Seems unlikely. But so... I have two stories about you before we talk about you.
We got to get to that dorkdom.
We got to get to that dorkdom, which is many years ago, probably five, 6 years ago. And I've told this story on various.
That's not many.
It was many in the
10. It is.
It is. And the Dork Forest is 10.
Oh, okay.
So probably.
Is it?
Yeah.
You know, I've wanted to do this for so long. I can't believe it's been 10. It's taken me 10 years.
It was, and this was in passing, and I have credited you this, and I've credited you.
I hope I remember this one.
This one is harder because it makes you sound silly, but I mean it in the nicest way because it makes me laugh.
No, I like being silly.
Excellent. I asked you to be on the show, and I said, because you were talking about knitting, and you said, the thing about knitting is that knitting isn't dorky, it's cool.
I said that?
Yeah. And then I laughed and laughed. And then you laughed.
God.
Because you're like, no, everybody knits now. Now it's a cool thing. And I was like, nope. No, it is not, my friend.
It started to become a lot more popular, certainly within the visible people in Los Angeles and a lot of the actors.
There was more knitting.
Were doing it.
But
I started knitting.
Did you learn back in the 1800s from your great-grandmother?
I did. It was a reward for after I churned the butter. If I did it on time, I could come in, hang up my apron, and knit. I don't remember exactly. My mother taught me how to knit, I think, but she was never an avid knitter. But
she wasn't an avid knitter?
She was not, but she knew from my grandmother. Who knitted, but mostly crocheted, I think, but did knit. And
crochet is that thing that holds pots, right? You hang things from the top of the ceiling and then you stick a pot in it or you make like a bracelet.
Crocheting is with a hook. It's a one-handed craft.
Oh, okay.
Knitting is two needles.
Oh, interesting.
So with crocheting, I'm not as fond of crocheting as I am of knitting. Sometimes
I didn't know that you could do it with one hand.
Well, crocheting is just one. It's a crochet hook.
Okay.
It's about 6 inches long with a hook. I mean, sometimes.
And you're just sort of weaving
a loop through a loop through a loop through a loop. But then there are other ways that you wrap the yarn around and you pull it through different. But I don't love the product. The crochet product as much as I love the knitted product. I think the knitted product.
There's a lot more possibilities.
That's what I think.
Because of yarn, right?
That's what I think. But there are people who crochet. No,
can you crochet with different.
Oh, yeah.
Why not, I suppose?
And different. See, and also with crocheting, you can do like a kind of like firmer. Cords and do different things, but I'm not into that. I mean, for a very short time, I was into macrame.
Oh my God!
So
what the hell was what is macrame?
You know, I was into any craft. You know,
right? But that's got a sort of string attached to it too, right?
I made a plant hanger, as everyone
is okay. So I'm getting macrame and crochet mixed up. What do you crochet? What do people
yarn? Yarn.
You use yarn to crochet, and then are you making a sweater or a hat?
You can make a sweater. You can make a hat. You can make
clothing.
Anything.
But with crochet, but macrame, that's the thing that's strong that's very, that you can.
With jute, it's with jute.
Is the name of the
J-U-T-E.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's
and
coarse.
It's stronger.
You wouldn't want to put it on your body. It's no, much stronger.
It's a hair shirt.
And, ugh.
Yeah.
And then you, I mean, you could do other things. Than everybody did plant hangers. It was
right.
So 70s.
It was very.
Oh God, it was.
Do
so
you ever
70s.
Do string art? Do you ever do the, have you ever seen the nails with the wire art and then it's a three-masted ship? It's
yeah,
one of my
I've
favorite
seen,
memories
I've
as a
it.
Child.
I've seen it, it's, but no, I never was.
My Uncle Harry had a three-masted ship on black velvet with nails and wire,
oh.
And it was string art. And it was, oh, it was gorgeous.
It was
especially
gorgeous?
If you were nine. Yeah. You were nine, you were like, this
well,
is.
What isn't gorgeous when you're nine?
And you want to get out of South Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Right.
And you want, you're like, I want to get on the open sea. When will I meet pirates? And I would have be a cabin boy. Anyway, so.
But anyway, so my mother taught me.
Macrame and crochet, but your mother taught you knitting.
Knitting. And I remember she gave me, I started on her number 5 needles, which are kind of small to start on in retrospect.
Is that, are there different size needles?
Oh yeah. They go all the way from, I guess.
Tiny.
1 or 0, which
yeah.
I don't like to work on the tinier ones because it takes forever to get a project.
But does it make the stitch smaller if the needles are smaller?
Yeah, and you use a much thinner yarn.
Okay.
Very fine, like sock yarns. It takes a long time to do. And then the needles go all the way up to, I don't know, 17.
Okay.
I mean, like things.
Pushing
like
20.
Same thing as your whole, like a horse's leg, you know.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Can you hear
no,
that?
No, okay. I didn't hear that.
That's good equipment. But so I started making this cardigan. It was like an ivory wool cardigan, and
that was your first big project.
Yeah, and I was interestingly, I was working at this horrible department store for the summer called Corvettes. I think it was just a New York.
That's a
thing.
Great name. That's
every day's a savings day at Corvettes.
Where was
at
Corvettes?
Corvettes, our shopping bag is savings.
Wow.
Yes.
That is a, somebody paid someone to write
mm-hmm.
that. And then I remember.
And I remembered it.
So yeah. It's on Cape Cod, there was a hey, where you going? We're going to Thompson's Clam Bar, because that's where the tastiest clams are. Is the seafood good? The best by far. And then it went on like that for genuinely like 2 more paragraphs.
Oh, my
okay.
God.
So Corvettes, where was Corvettes? Was it in Minnesota?
It was in New York store.
Oh, it was in New York.
New York store. And there were several. And Corvettes had the best record department.
Oh, okay.
They had everything else was very bad quality there.
But the albums were good for some
great
reason?
Great record department and the best prices. And I'd get all my singles there.
Oh, okay.
Get all my albums there.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about when, you know, I got 45 RPM singles.
Sure.
Which the standard price was 69 cents, but when they were on sale, it was 45 cents.
And then did you get a deal because you worked there? Or did,
you know,
if it was already on sale?
Mm. I don't remember if he got such a good deal on records there.
Right.
You know, I think there was an exception. And albums were only like $3, you know.
Right. But it was also, what, the late 60s, early 70s?
I worked at Corvettes. I was in college, so it was the mid-70s.
Mid-70s.
Early to mid-70s when I worked there. Early 70s.
I remember getting 45s and just being confused on how to play them because the hole was too big.
You didn't have an adapter?
We had an adapter, but I didn't. It took me like, I mean, my brother, nobody showed me how to use anything in my family. Everyone was just like, you know how to read, don't you? I'm the youngest of 6.
Oh my God.
So, I mean, there's just
this,
expectations
exactly.
That you must have learned how to put a 45 dealy bob in.
You've been observing.
Did you collect the 45s? You must have collected albums.
Oh yeah, and you know what I'm so pissed off about? I gave my nephew my box of 45s.
Oh. And he sold them for rent.
And it's gone.
I'm sure he sold them.
I don't know where the hell it is. I'm so sick. Well, you know what? There would be more junk for me.
Exactly.
But I still have the very first album that I think that I either was bought or my sisters gave to me. And I it's actually framed and hung up in my I have 3 album covers hung up in my bathroom now. And a couple that I got from Goodwill and this one. And I wrote my name on it. So I see my cursive handwriting from when I was 8 years old.
Right.
Right on the
episode.
What was the early Beatles.
An early Beatles
the
album.
The early Beatles.
Oh, it's called The Early Beatles?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a Beatles song? A Beatles album?
It's a Beatles album, yeah.
And is it like a greatest hits?
You know, I don't think it was. I think it was a current
Yeah, because it must have.
Their current songs.
Maybe it was ironic. Maybe they were the first hipsters.
Oh, maybe.
The
maybe
early they said Beatles. The early,
maybe they knew it was. They knew they had a future, huh?
They must have.
Yeah.
Do you
so
realize,
anyway, just back yes. to this. Now, let me just finish this knitting
the
story.
Knitting thing.
Was that I remember these number five needles because I still have them because there's a little tiny bend at the tip of one of them now because I got it stuck in my locker, my employee locker at Corvettes. But I can still knit with them.
Right. Why are they straight? Are they?
It's interesting. I now work on circular needles always unless it's not possible and I have to work on double point needles. That's a little bit.
Confusing. So there's a straight needle. Is a circular needle a closed circle or is it a horseshoe?
It can't be a closed circle.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, it's what it is. It's two shorter firm points
okay.
at the end and then a flexible wire.
Sort of like that.
Yeah.
So it's like a U.
So it's bendable.
It's bendable.
And what it's
for. Oh, it's like one big one that's bendable.
But you go back. You can use a circular needle if you're doing circular projects like I've done. I have this great poncho. Actually, I even wore it when I was on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
They
said,
nice.
Oh, yeah, that. I said, great. And that was done on circular needles.
Okay.
Because there was so much fabric that, in fact, it was even done, I may have even had to do it on two circular needles at once, perhaps, because it was so big.
So circular needles probably end up being different lengths. Is that right?
Yes. The cables. See, now what I have, I have a set of interchangeable circular needles that are really great.
Oh, wow.
And I've
sort
had
of like a socket set.
Exactly. It's exactly what it is. And I had one set before, but they were not great quality. But they came out with these, and they're such, you can't even, it's so smooth between, where you screw on the end.
Yeah.
It's
seamless kind of?
Yeah, you can barely feel where it's screwed in. And also the cables are incredibly flexible.
Okay.
So they're terrific. I love them. And I love the needle points too, because I bought a nickel plated set, but then they came out with these wooden sets.
Yeah.
And oh my God, I'm so in love with them. There's no practical reason that I need to get them, but every now and then I'll buy a set of wooden tips because they're just so luscious and beautiful.
So wooden tips, I mean, why are they pointy just so you can poke into the...
They're pointy. They're not exactly like a pencil.
They're not sharp, but they're pointy.
But they're pointy so you can catch the yarn, so you can catch the loop.
Okay. Oh, I see. Okay. And so wooden ones versus copper ones versus whatever, it's just making sure that they're smooth.
Yeah, you want them to be smooth, and you also like the way the needle, the way the yarn, like the nickel-plated one are way more slippery.
Yeah.
So the yarn, it's easier to drop things, drop stitches.
Okay.
But on the wooden ones, because I've worked on other ones and the yarn is a little bit, kind of catches on a little bit more, but these are really nice and smooth, but not as slick as the nickel one. So it's, to me, it's just the perfect kind of
consistency to keep a hold of the yarn
smoothness.
Okay.
It holds, but lets it move.
Fair enough.
Oh my God. I love my needles and I love my yarn. That's the whole thing that this is, it's like going into a yarn store where all the yarn is like set up in categories by colors and it's just so luscious and it feels so good. It's very tactile.
Is
you know?
It always wool? It isn't always wool.
No, you can work in it.
Polyester. I mean, they have to have every. There isn't cotton yarn, is there?
Oh,
you can make a cotton sweater,
absolutely.
Jackie. Yeah. So why wouldn't there be cotton?
Cotton. There's
leather. Leather wool. No.
No, I don't think so.
You can't really knit with animal fabric, can you? Fur.
I don't think you can. I wonder if there's like.
I mean, it's probably not done anymore.
It's done.
Like a tiger pelt. That'd be inappropriate, first of all.
I have to ask the Trump sons about that.
Right.
But yeah, it's all different fabrics and and contents, and they've gotten so much better in the manufacturing. There are still shitty yarns. I mean, some real crappy yarns, but there are some beautiful acrylic yarns that you can get. And there are some beautiful superwash wools that you can wash and they come out great, which is great for baby stuff and
superwash. So wool is sort of the gold. I mean, that was the first one that I ever heard of. Cause I did an episode about knitting with Diva Zappa, which I love Diva Zappa, but it's all real organic, man, because she's Diva Zappa.
Okay,
and
right.
So it was beautiful. Right. It was so great, but she likes to use this this yarn that is almost not there. Like it's poofy. It's super hard to get a hold of.
Is it
stuff.
Angora?
Yeah, kind of. Maybe it's there's harder yarns to work with.
Yeah, I mean, like there are certain yarns that have a very thin shaft, but then will have a lot of like fibers coming off
Of it, so that you can't tell where you're actually grabbing.
I think would be like that. That's hard to see.
Yeah,
it's hard to see where the hole is and where the
where you're grabbing
the shaft of the yarn.
Right.
Is. May I say shaft?
Please say shaft.
Okay?
Please say it again.
Shaft.
Thank you. There you go. That's what you get, folks. Rangers, live it up. And Kathy Ladman saying shaft. And, I am curious, though, about how to knit. So you're given two sticks.
It's so simple. And also, I've been knitting you wrong for not wrong, but kind of in a confusing manner for a while. Some of my stitches
there was an easier way?
And my mother-in-law is an excellent knitter. I think she's a master knitter, personally. But she saw me knitting one time, and she goes, "What are you doing exactly?" And I showed her. She goes, "Well, actually, I think it's..." And she's from Minnesota. She's a very kind way of saying
yeah.
She goes, "Actually, well, there is this other way, and if you do it this way..." And it was like, oh my God, you've opened a world for me.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it made total sense, because even when I was knitting before, I realized, well, something's wrong here.
Okay.
Why is this stitch twisted here? And what she explained to me made it all clear. Knitting is so simple. It's a loop through a loop.
Okay, so you make a loop with one hand, and then you shove the thing through the... Okay.
No, that's crocheting.
Okay.
What you do with knitting is you want to do something called casting on. You cast on one needle a number of stitches that's going to be your base, your foundation.
Okay.
So when you cast on...
That's
how you start. Let's say you're casting on 20 stitches. You're making a scarf, say, or something. That's the easiest
thing
simple.
To start. I like it.
And you cast on, and then what you do is you start to build the fabric
on
the next row. And there's basically only one stitch.
Okay.
But it's looked at from two sides. When you look at it from one side, it's called a knit stitch, and it's flat.
Okay.
When you look at it from the other side, it's a purl stitch, and there are little bumps.
Okay.
But it's really the same stitch, just looked at from either side.
It's like looking at one side of the page and another side of the page. Got it. Okay.
But when you're making a purl stitch, you're going to hold the yarn that you're carrying, that you're working with, to the front.
Okay.
And when you pull the loop through, the loop is going to fall to the front of the work, and that's where it makes that bump.
Okay.
When you do a knit stitch, you're holding the yarn that you're working with in the back. You pull the loop through.
And let it fall back.
It's going to be on the back, so you're not going to see it. It's going to be flat and smooth on the
Interesting.
Front. Now, when you're making a scarf, sometimes you don't want to make a flat knit like that, because it'll curl. So that's why you want to do
a
rib thing and some kind of pattern that lies flat a little bit better for a scarf.
Now,
or you can block it flat also. That's another way.
Okay. So a rib thing is what, and blocking is what?
Okay. A rib stitch would be classic rib stitch is knit two, purl two.
Oh, okay.
Knit two, purl two. And what it does is...
I've even heard that.
It's very common. And it kind of, the fabric kind of like... It gets a little bit, it's stretchy. It's stretchy.
Okay. It's how it ends up interacting with each other, and it's a rib kind of feel to it.
Yeah, it goes like a
wave.
Hills and valleys. And then when you pull it apart, what you end up seeing when you're looking at a ribbed fabric is you see all the knits, because that's kind of how it happens.
Okay.
But then you pull it apart, and then you see
the pearls.
The pearls are hiding in there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Blocking is when you finish something and you want to put it into shape with steam.
Oh, okay. So you kind of iron it, or
you don't want to iron it. You can pin it. I don't have the space to have all this stuff. I would love one day to have a crafts room, but you pin it either on a blocking board, or I just use my ironing board.
Okay.
And you use these pins and
to stretch it,
you pin it to shape. You don't really want to stretch it, but just kind of like
flat.
Slightly stretch maybe to shape, and you measure where you want it to be. If it's supposed to be a 12 by 12 square, let's say, you measure that, and then you can put a flat, just kind of like old pillowcase over it, and then you like steam, and you can press lightly the pillowcase.
Okay.
And then that, And then you let it dry. And then when you take it off, it should be
flat and blocked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you have knitted a pillowcase.
No, I haven't knitted a pillowcase.
Okay.
Where did you get that?
I don't know where I got pillowcase.
Oh, because I said you put an old pillowcase
over it. Oh, to protect it.
Okay. Yeah, and it's just a thin, it's like a, you know, thin.
It's fine enough that you're not, that you can get through it, exactly. But not burn anything.
Right.
Got it. All right.
Good.
Sure.
Very good. You're grasping it.
I'm getting it. It's interesting, like, there must be different levels of knitting, like someone who can just knit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I brought a couple of things with me, but
yeah,
I brought.
Yeah, if you bring it, we can describe it because I won't know what I'm looking at.
But this is a scarf.
It'll be perfect.
This is a scarf that I'm making for my son-in-law. And this is something I have a friend, a Facebook friend, who's a master knitter, and she knits for magazines and does test patterns.
Oh my gosh.
So I said to her, what would be a good stitch to make for a scarf? And she gave me a couple of ideas. And this is called a mock rib stitch because it's not exactly knit to purl to. It's kind of like a little off center.
Oh.
And it comes out like this, and it's pretty.
Super pretty.
And you see how it's
accordion-ish?
Yeah. And it's pretty. It's not exactly
the pearls, the up high ones, or what?
See, this is a little more difficult to see because it's this mock rib.
Yeah.
And it's kind of in a regular rib, you knit into a knit and you purl into a purl. In this one, you're kind of one off.
Okay.
You're one off. So that's why it's not exactly a rib, but I like it better because it lies a little bit flatter.
Right. And here's my question. Mm-hmm. The top of the scarf.
Yes.
That's
the cast on ridge.
That's the cast on ridge. And all you're doing there is, what are you attaching it to? Itself?
This was on the needle when I started.
Okay. So the needle is 6 inches long or however long this is, right?
No. It has to be, a needle has to be like,
twice as long.
Yeah, it's about, I don't even know how long a needle is. I use, as I said, I use here as the circular needle. This is interesting to everyone listening, I'm sure. But
while she digs through her bag. No, it is. Well, it's interesting to me because when you say cast on, mm-hmm. what you're talking about is you're starting
a row of stitches.
Right, and it stays on the needle until you attach it to the next thing?
You knit off of that, and as you knit, It
falls off of the needle?
It goes down and the fabric grows and grows.
Okay.
It's like the net, when you knit the first row, then that's the one that's on the needle.
Okay.
And the other one is now off the needle.
And the cast is off the needle.
Right.
Got it.
It's attached. But they're my needles.
Wire needle, or what's it called again?
The
circular.
That's the cable, right? This is a circular needle.
This is, which means it's more of a cable attached with
two tips.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Isn't this wood nice?
The wood is pretty. Nice. Yeah. It's a very pretty word. So where do you go to get stuff?
I get these online at a place called Knit Picks. I really love their
K-N-I-P.
Stuff. Yeah.
K-N-I-T-P-I-C-K-S. Oh,
knitpicks.com.
Okay.
And, they have very basic yarns and their prices are great.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get real specialty yarns there.
But isn't it weird buying yarn on...
They have great needle kits, too.
Okay. Like, buying yarn online, isn't it kind of like buying clothes online where you don't get to try it on or feel
You can always buy sample cards.
Okay.
And see what they feel like. You can also call them and these people know what they're talking about.
They'll talk you through it.
And they can say, this is very soft. It's kind of soft. It has a little bit of a nubby texture to it or whatever, you know.
All the different knitting words that you know what they mean because you've been doing it forever.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So, but the reason I like them is that it's really affordable and they have good quality yarns.
Right.
Now this is the kind of project that I can do. Like I used to knit when I was writing on shows.
I
would knit in the writer's room. And I actually got, and my friend Jack told me he started knitting and a lot of people loved what it was very soothing to watch.
Yeah.
I love doing it while I'm doing something else.
Cause it feels like multitasking, but is it not? Is it just sort of,
well, this is such an easy,
like
stitch.
Once you start doing it.
I barely have to think about it.
Okay. As opposed to data entry, which is also repetitive, but not as soothing.
Can't do that while you're talking to people. But Then I'm working on this other project, and you can do this while you're watching TV, watching a movie on TV, you know.
Yeah, I've seen people do it just sort of at coffee shops and stuff where, like, you're just hanging out and they're just sitting around, like the book club. They're sitting around with their friends.
But I love, like, this is the kind of project that I like to always have going, something simple that's like a TV movie project.
Oh, it's kind of a background project.
Exactly.
Because then there's other projects that are... like destination kind of holidays.
It's like office music kind of project.
Sure.
But this, what I'm making for my best friend, and I haven't done this in over a month, so I have to get, this is going to blow your mind here.
All right.
I am making felted, they're going to be felted, which means, they're stuck on the,
got it. It's just looped.
Another bag. Yeah, the bag has a kind of a thing here. But
knitters are the first people who ever had hippie bags, like for groceries.
Oh, you're right.
Because you're like, and it doesn't ever, because they're all open kind of grocery bags now. I mean, do you have to put it in the bags carefully and take it out of the bag carefully just to make sure you're not ripping it apart?
Some people use needle tips, like when they're putting their projects back in bags.
Okay.
To make sure that
to keep them together or?
To make sure that the yarn doesn't slide off the needle.
But I'm
too impatient
mm-hmm.
to do that. So, but this, what I'm making is I'm doing this on double point needles because it's very confusing.
Double point. And so single point meetings don't have the tapered ends on both sides is what you're saying.
No, they don't. They have a
flat
closure at the end. Right. Like a kind of like a thumbtack.
Almost. Oh.
You know, anything and that would stop.
Oh, just to stop the flow of yarn. It could be a bead. It
could be a large bead. Depends on the kind of needles you get.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But these are pointed at both ends and usually like socks. You can make socks. There are certain ways you can make socks with two circular needles.
Oh, wow.
But these are... pointed at both ends, and they're about 8 inches long.
Right.
And the reason that you use these is because the product that you're making, in this case a mitten, and it's done in a circular fashion, is that it's too small of a circle, you know, to do with straight needles or with even with circular needles. It just wouldn't work because it's so tiny.
It's tiny. So you need two needles or you need two ends?
You need four of these.
You need four needles?
Actually, and sometimes five.
With both ends?
Yeah, and you knit it in a circle.
Okay.
And I don't even, you know what I hate when I stop a project? I have to like really think when I go back to it.
Oh, you got
to
relearn.
Like this. Like where the fuck am I?
I don't know. Yeah.
And then you do it in a circle, but you do it like the circle is three needles or four needles.
Okay.
And you evenly distribute these stitches that you're working on. And one needle is free, and that's the one that you work onto each time. You go around in a circle.
And what you're doing is you're adding stitches to each of those three other needles? Is that what you're doing?
You're not adding. You're just knitting off of them.
Okay.
It's like... I don't want to knit because I don't know if I'm going to do anything. But let's say I'm knitting right here, knitting off of this. Then all these stitches will end up on this needle, and then this will be my free needle.
Oh, okay. Because you'll pull it out.
Right.
I get it. Okay, so you'll knit on the free needle, and then you'll move from one of the three needles to the next of the three needles because you'll get a new free needle when you're done with a row.
Exactly.
And you'll go to the next one, and that will create the circle.
Yes.
That'll create sort of the wristband of a mitten or whatever.
You know what I just realized while I'm talking to you?
What?
I'm not afraid of trying anything new in knitting. I am not afraid of it.
Yeah.
Which is why I've done so many different things. But in life, I am so afraid.
Oh, weird.
And maybe this is the way I find to conquer my fear.
Yeah. Why not?
Maybe. I am so adventurous with knitting.
You're adventurous with now are you adventurous with knitting because it's just knitting? Or is it like, because you can always undo, right? Don't you have to take apart?
Yes.
And that's got to be a pain in the neck, but.
Sometimes it is, but I would rather, I mean, like there's a mistake in my son-in-law's scarf. And
yeah.
I thought, I don't want to do it. It's, you know, it's such a big scarf.
You know what
scarf,
Diva Zappa says?
What?
She says that's just part of the beauty of it.
Exactly. I remember it's when, as a kid, going to the UN on a field trip in New York. And, you know, because that's where I grew up. And we had great field trips because it was New York.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
Amazing.
And so we went to the UN, and there was a huge tapestry hanging from a wall, enormous tapestry. And to me, this was so actually like so, what's the word I'm looking for? Presumptuous of a concept that the guide said to the children that, and there was a mistake intentionally put into this tapestry to show that only God is perfect.
Oh, that's right. Right, right.
And I'm thinking like, and then years
later. That's
right,
they always do that.
Years later, in fact, you know, as an adult, one day I thought, well, there was going to be a mistake in there anyway.
Right, you didn't have to make a mistake.
If the universe is perfect.
Right.
Then, you know.
Yeah, and you don't necessarily have. It is a little. Right, to think that you have to create because you're a perfect being.
Well, I better make this mistake intentionally because I want to make sure that you're going to make the mistake anyway.
The mistake's going to be there. And the other thing is it's a great rationalization for not fixing a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, tapestries. What the hell are tapestries? Are those woven?
Looms. They're done on looms.
Giant
looms.
They're
giant things that wooden with.
Ka-chunk, ka-chunk.
I don't know how to do. My sister-in-law had a loom at her house.
Oh, interesting.
And did that.
Have you ever seen the spinning of yarn? Have you ever done
it? I've never witnessed it. But when I was in China adopting my daughter, we went to the fabric. They had like a great fabric mart, and I found, and I still haven't used it, but I bought some cashmere yarn on a spool.
Oh, wow.
And I love knitting with cashmere, but it's very expensive.
So you need to choose very specifically what you're going to make and make sure.
Yeah. And I still I just got rid of a lot of yarn that I thought I have so much money's worth of yarn, but I didn't know what I was going to make with it. So I just had to.
Well, because I bet you when you start looking at yarn, you're just like, oh, the possibilities are endless. And then all of a sudden you have stacks of yarn and you're like, I don't know what to do with this.
Yes. My mother-in-law has an attic full of yarn.
She's got an attic full of yarn.
Yes.
I have books like that. And I just keep buying books. And I'm like, I'm never going to read.
Do you buy books or take them from the library?
I buy them. I used to do the library. Mm-hmm. And then I travel so much that I'm just wandering through too many bookstores in too many towns.
And you read a lot.
I read a fair amount, but I also.
I'm such a bad book reader. I have so many different things that I'm reading.
Yeah.
It takes me so long to get through a book, and it's frustrating.
But isn't it great to start many books at once? Some people like to read one book at a time.
Mm-hmm.
I like to have like five things going at once.
I have five books going.
I have a nonfiction book that I'm reading mm-hmm. by Eric Bogosian.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of rereads that I bring on the road with me.
Like what?
Just usually romance novels or science fiction novels mm-hmm. that are just soothing. Like if I'm twitchy.
Right.
And then I also have usually a book or two on Kindle.
I like using that.
It's harder. It's usually a reread on Kindle as well. I'm rereading some books from when I was a kid. It's a Civil War series, written by a guy named Alt Schuler. It's a boys series. It's four books are set from one cousin who fought for the South and four books are set from the other cousin who fought for the North.
That sounds cool.
Yes. And he wrote them in the early 1900s. So.
Oh, you know what I just bought?
What?
I bought, you know, Stephanie Story?
No.
Stephanie Story is, you should know, God, was Mike Gandolfi's wife.
Oh, wow.
You know Mike Gandolfi,
I know
right?
Mike Gandolfi.
Yeah. And
she very funny
just,
guy.
He is a very funny guy.
Mm-hmm.
And she just wrote her first novel, and it's getting amazing reviews.
Stephanie Story?
Yes. Storey.
Storey.
And it's called Oil and Marble. And I am one of the reasons I bought it is to support a friend.
Right.
But the other reason is, that's the only time I've been buying books a lot recently is to support people I know.
Right. And you're like, you pray to God that they're good. Because it's sort of like watching someone's TV show or listening to their album. You're like, please be funny. Please be smart. Please be good. And it's always great. So Oil and Marble, is it
and
a
it's
mystery?
It's a, no, it's a historical fiction, which I love.
Oh, interesting. I enjoy a historical fiction. Yeah.
Leonardo da Vinci and Michelangelo at the same time. Oil
and
being
marble.
Da Vinci, marble being Michelangelo.
Okay.
I believe.
Yeah.
Actually, it could be both of them.
Didn't they both do media? I think so.
Yes. I have not started it yet because I have like, really, I have a pile of books that are at least a foot high.
Right.
Nonfiction, fiction,
just various.
Self-improvement.
Ooh, do you do books on tape? You ever do Audible?
You know what? I like it a lot, but I don't have time, Jackie. I have all these podcasts and I'm not traveling as much as you are.
Rangers, keep listening to this podcast. But I don't listen to any podcasts. I listen to books on tape. And so, I also re-listen to books on tape. Like right now I'm re-listening for the 100th time, Assassination Vacation by Sarah Vowell.
I don't even know what that is.
It's about the assassinations of McKinley, Lincoln, and Garfield.
Oh my God.
And it's very funny because it's written by Sarah Vowell.
I don't even know who that is.
And she reads it. Oh, she's an NPR lady. And
How do you spell her last name?
V-O-W-E-L-L, Sarah, with an H. She was on The Daily Show a lot.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Look at the discovery. It's a beautiful discovery time.
It is a discovery, yes.
So,
I have two books on tape that my stepson bought me, and I haven't listened to them yet.
Right. Well, it's hard because you got to be either you got to put them on your iPod and fly around a lot,
right?
Or you got to drive around a lot.
Yeah, and when I drive, I'm generally listening to politics.
And to politics and podcasts.
Well, I don't have, you know, it's hard for me. I have an older car, so I don't have like a great podcast setup in my car.
Right.
I can listen to through my Bluetooth.
Right.
It's a tinny sound.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if there's any way to set up my car so I can listen through my speakers.
Yes.
I have an old car.
Right. You'd have to, 1 year with my 2003 Toyota Corolla, Andy got me for my birthday.
Yes.
A new radio. That had a sync thing.
So I can do that?
Yeah.
I have a 2004 Honda Accord.
There you go. Go over to Fry's.
Okay.
And they'll hook you up, Fry's Electronics.
Oh my gosh.
$200 or $300. And they will set it up for you. And then your phone can work through your speakers.
Oh, that would be great.
And
I can get rid of that stupid Bluetooth thing that sometimes works and sometimes doesn't.
Right.
That's a good investment.
SYNC is what I recommend.
Okay.
They're in all the Fords. Yeah, I think that's the software brand.
I would love to buy a new car, and I just can't afford it now.
Well, fair enough.
I want one.
Does it run? Do you like a new car?
I do. I would like to get. First of all, I would like to get a car that's under warranty.
Oh,
so
interesting.
I don't have to worry about repairs now because
Well, in 2004, now repairs are coming.
Yes.
How many miles on that Accord?
120,000.
That's not bad.
No, it's not. I mean, I don't drive a lot. It's the most I've ever had on mileage that
And
I've
the
had.
Honda Accord, that's a hell of a road car, my friend.
It's a good car.
If you want to go back to the road.
Yes,
that's
I know.
Gonna, that's that. The, you
and I like
do it.
Driving.
Yeah.
Although the other night I did a gig in Santa Barbara with Laura Kilmartin and I was driving home and I'm so glad. I usually stay for the whole show, but I had the option of leaving early.
Right.
And I took it. It's an hour and a half. And
so,
I took it.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, that last 45 minutes, thank God my friend Bev Mickens called me. Because I told her, call me, you know, I'll be on the road. So she calls me at like 10:30 or so.
Oh, and it kept you awake.
And I was like, oh, thank God. Because the last, like for 15 minutes, I was fighting it. And it was so hard. And she talked me the whole way home.
Yep.
And when I pulled into my carport, I was talking to her. And for a few times, I said, did I say 950? Oh. Why did I say 950? And there were a few times. And Bev is so good. She goes, yeah, 950. I mean, she's just trying to be supportive.
She's
trying to help me. She's always like very affirming. And I did it a few times. And I said, wait a second. Would I just say hissing? What?
Christ.
I got to get upstairs.
Well, you're terrifying.
Yes.
That's a terrifying story of Kathy Ledman driving.
It was very scary. At one point, I thought I wanted to pull over, but I wanted to get home so badly. And
yeah.
For those listening, these are poor driving decisions.
Right. Don't do it. My iPad fits right over my steering wheel.
How does that happen?
Well, you just, because I have the case holds underneath the hood of where the speedometer is, and so it can just be there. And so I can put, you know, Waze on or MapQuest or whatever.
Oh, I see what you're saying, yes.
But do I? And I do. But am I also looking at Twitter a little bit at stoplights?
It isn't okay. I'm doing things that are,
dumb.
And I have a 12-year-old daughter, and I really have to, like...
I'm supposed to be a model. Yeah, you're supposed to be. We're all supposed to be a model.
And she'll go. I say, Milan, please remind me. She'll go, Mom. And I'll go, oh, thank you, thank you. And then when she's not in the car, I get sloppy.
Yeah.
And It's stupid.
It's, yeah. It's stupid. There's no, I don't understand.
Car accident.
Oh, have you?
While I was, this is so
I've gotten a ticket.
This is horribly embarrassing.
Okay.
Playing a game.
Oh, you were playing a game?
Yes.
While driving.
Horribly.
You know, the game of driving is a game, but I am sympathetic.
I am so embarrassed.
It's a little bejeweled.
I'm coloring right now.
What were you doing, right?
I can't even remember. It was with these dots that fell. It was horrible. It was horrible.
Right, because driving and listening to a podcast is not enough.
Well, there weren't even podcasts then.
Right, but radio.
It was on my palm. If that tells you how long
ago
it was.
Palm Pilot. Ladies and gentlemen, back in the day.
So what happened to you? You got a ticket doing what?
I don't know. I was on my iPad on the 5, and it was almost standstill, or it was standstill. It could have been standstill.
Standstill, I'll do something.
Standstill, yeah, and whatever it was. But the cop, steam coming out of his ears, he was so mad at me.
What did he do? What did he say?
He was like, this is worse than your phone. Your iPad is worse than your phone. And I was like, all right. I mean, I didn't have, I'm a middle-aged white lady, so not that scared. And
I mean,
when everyone,
I get scared when someone admonishes me like that.
I always, I'm
See,
enormously,
that's why I knit.
I'm always polite when anyone's armed around me.
Oh, me
I'm
too.
Always,
me
I'm
too.
The, I'm always, and even when I got my DUIs and stuff,
You got a DUI?
Two DUIs, but the cops were always super polite.
Oh my God.
Many years ago.
And, in Minnesota?
One in Minnesota, one here in Los Angeles.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I have friends who've gotten them in several different states. That's the way to go, by the way.
Do you ever drink and drive anymore?
I do not. I do not.
Good.
And not at this time. Hopefully not tomorrow.
Do you drink anymore?
I don't drink anymore.
Oh, good.
So there you go. Yeah. I had to wrap it up. And so.
Wrap it up. My favorite line in Defending Your Life.
Oh.
When Albert Brooks is going on and on and on. And, you know, Rip Torn is his lawyer. And he's going on and digging himself into a hole, explaining. And Rip Torn goes, wrap it up.
Rip Torn makes all movies better. And Defending Your Life is one of the greatest movies in the world.
Oh, my God. It's a brilliant concept with a brilliant execution. Fantastic cast. Great jokes.
Yep.
We could dork out
very easily on, because I love Defending Your Life and I love Mother.
Oh, I love Mother. And a lot of people did not like it.
A lot of people, but my friend Jim Wooster, friend of the show, Jim Wooster has, he says there's two different kinds of Albert Brooks fans. There's essentially the people who like Friends and the people who like Seinfeld. And I'm like, hey, jackass. And he's like, do you like, remember the one where, his early stuff, like Albert Brooks's early stuff.
Oh, you mean like
Lost?
Lost in America. Modern Romance.
Modern Romance.
And I love Modern Romance.
Those two make me uncomfortable.
They do?
Yeah. I love Defending Your Life and Mother more than the early stuff.
You know what I love in Modern Romance? When he's, you know, he works in, he's producing this film.
Yeah.
And he's working on the Foley, you know, the sound effects on the film. And, and George Kennedy is actually in this scene, and they're on a spaceship or something, and they're running down a hallway, and they're trying to sound different Foley sounds. And one of them sounds like, it sort of sounds horrible. It's a hilarious scene. And you see these two union guys doing, like Foley guys doing what he's asking them to do.
Yeah.
And they finally do it. And, he's like so excited. What do you think? And one guy goes, I think you saved the picture. Like, he's so dry.
Yeah. See, that's my favorite thing about Albert Brooks is that, you know, he's a more accessible Woody Allen. And I like, because he feels more human. He feels more faceted.
Well, I think he's a less intellectual. I think he's smart, but he's less intellectual.
I think that Woody Allen's a little bit of a poser with the intellectual.
You think so?
I do, but that's, I loved Annie Hall.
Yeah.
But I haven't watched anything since he married his stepdaughter.
Oh, God. I mean,
it's been very hard.
Hannah and Her Sisters.
It was the last one I saw.
Hannah and Her Sisters?
Yeah.
Brilliant movie.
It's a great movie.
Brilliant. And it's absolutely, I wrote him, I saw it 4 times in the theater, and I wrote him a letter, and he wrote me back, and it's framed on my wall. Because I'm from three daughters.
Yeah.
And the chemistry and the
I love Broadway Danny Rose.
Oh, I love Broadway Danny Rose. Oh my God, I love Broadway Danny. And my friend, you know, I'm friends with Jack Rollins' daughters. And
who's Jack Rollins?
Jack Rollins was...
No, I'm in the part of show business that doesn't know anybody. Who's Jack Rollins?
Oh, Jack Rollins was a very famous comedy producer.
Oh, there you go.
He just died this past year at 100.
Okay. And not a career cut, tragically short.
Nichols and May, well, started with Harry Belafonte, Tony Bennett. Then he started to get into comedy with Nichols and May, discovered Woody Allen, Dick Cavett, Robert Klein, then amongst some
of the
more...
What the hell is his name?
Jack Rollins.
Jack Rollins.
Yeah, and he's in the opening scene in the deli with Sandy Baron.
Yeah.
And all those older comics holding court. Jack is in there, and he's got these really baggy eyes, and he's just smiling, and he's not saying anything, but he's just hanging out there with them. And it's just a fantastic scene.
That's
when
great.
They're all telling their stories, and Sandy Baron goes, okay, now you all finished? This is the greatest story.
Broadway
Danny
Rose
story of all time. And then it morphs into...
You're right. Okay. I mean, there is... What I like about Albert Brooks is it's a more of a 360 view of humanity. And it's... And with Woody Allen, it is more... It's surgical. It feels like it's much sharper and much... Maybe intellectual is the word, but it's...
But also, he's very anachronistic, Woody Allen. He's from another time, and he adores another time.
Yes.
He adores the 30s and the 40s.
Yes.
He adores that. So there's a lot of that texture in his films. Albert Brooks is more modern.
He is more modern.
Yeah.
He's willing to embrace...
He uses more of today.
Yes. It feels more accessible, but it feels just as smart...
Oh, yeah.
But it isn't quite as...
I don't think it's playing to the bottom of the room by
any chance. Neither one of them.
No. But,
But it has that vibe. Woody Allen has that 20s, 30s, 40s vibe.
He's very specific in his choices that some people might not know. His references, a lot of people might not know. And there's some of them that I don't know.
Right.
But I just happen to love his sensibility. I just really do. And I remember seeing Sleeper when it came out with my parents. And I was, an adolescent. And I sat separately from them. I sat on the other side of the aisle from them. And it was really funny. But I developed a greater appreciation for it as an adult. There are just things that make me laugh so hard.
Right.
In Sleeper.
Yeah.
And also what's so funny is how ridiculous we thought the amount sold was on the McDonald's sign. We thought, oh, that's such a big number. And it came to pass.
And so it came to pass.
Yeah.
Sure. It's, that is crazy.
I could talk movies like, God.
Well, and we're close to an hour.
Do movies another time, Jackie.
You got to come back, Kathy. Is there any resources? Like if people want to learn how to knit and stuff and they don't have your mother-in-law as a master knitter, and your mother to teach you when you were nine.
Oh, you know what's so great that they have now that they didn't have is, these video tutorials.
Oh, okay.
Which are great. And you can go on a resource. First of all, you can go to knitpicks.com.
Yeah.
And they have some of their own tutorials, which I think are free.
Yeah.
But there are
and then
other,
there's a
classes.
YouTube rabbit.
Tons of YouTube stuff.
YouTube rabbit hole that you can go down
absolutely.
Forever. Yeah.
And then this other place that I like called craftsy.com.
With an S-Y.
Crafty, like the word craft.
Yeah, with an S-Y.
Used with a C, not in the comedy way of a K.
Because they're not trying to be hilarious.
Oh, God. if you could only see my facial expression now. But
Kathy Ledman does not approve.
No, craftsy.com. And they have tons of classes. You pay for them, but some of them are not expensive. And what's great about having those classes is that they're downloaded. And
So you keep them.
You keep them, and then you can go to them at any point as a reference. But truth is, you can also do the same thing with YouTube. You can
save. And what a good thing
about learning to knit is everybody forgets how to cast on over and over and over again at the beginning because you do it once, then you do your project, then you're going to start your project. Your second project is like, oh my God, how do I cast on?
Right.
So you have to refer to it a lot. So you have these videos. You don't have to go back to the knitting store the way I had to back in the dark ages.
Right. Do you have any books? I mean,
I have so many books and I had saved so many magazines and I had to, just let them go.
Do some purging.
And I also used to subscribe to Vogue Knitting, and I finally let that go because I wasn't doing any of their stuff. It's fun to look at, though. I can dork out on looking at knitting patterns.
Oh.
Because there's gorgeous stuff.
Like what? I mean, what's the hardest thing to knit? Like, is it a mitten? Is it a sweater?
It's a little awkward. Like the machinations you have to go through to get like
to do
this
round
one that
stuff.
I'm doing, and I'm doing.
What I'm is doing that? A, is that a mitten?
It's going to be a mitten. It's felted, so that's why it's so huge.
What's felted?
This will shrink. In the, see how big loose the stitches are?
Yeah.
Like this will shrink and become like a tight fabric where you almost don't even see the stitches anymore. Like felt.
Oh, I see.
It's very cool.
Because here's what I was thinking. I bought the most expensive mittens in the world in mm-hmm. Madison, Wisconsin, because mm-hmm. I had lost my hat and mittens. So mm-hmm. I decided to spend too much money, an embarrassing uh-huh. amount of money, instead of walking down the block on State Street to Ragstock and buying normal stuff.
Oh.
I bought essentially repurposed sweaters that had been knit together and then lined with something, felt or something.
Beautiful.
And they're gorgeous. But they were...
They're crafts, right?
Right. And they were handmade, of course. And and they deserve to
absolutely.
Be every dime of the $50 I spent on mittens that I will one day lose.
You know what you need to do?
Let go?
You need to go into Barney's
yeah.
and look at the prices there.
And
then you'll realize what a bargain you got.
And plus... At least it was a lady or a person
absolutely.
Who made it
that's
instead
not
of
a lot
just
of
kids.
Money, Jackie.
It felt
not
like a lot of money.
I understand, but it's not a lot of money. For
especially
a craft.
For amount of work that everybody's done
uh-huh.
it. And the lady and whoever made them, I assume, who knows, it could have been a fella. But
oh, yeah, there's this very famous knitter, and I forget his name, very famous master knitter in Minnesota, who's a guy.
Who gives the masters? How do you know if you're a
know,
master?
I don't know exactly. But
maybe the magazines and stuff, or there's
maybe.
Just...
I mean, there are all sorts of like clubs and organizations probably. You know what I've never gone to, what I really want to go to is the Vogue Knitting like festival or something they
like
call
a con?
It. It's every
like a
September.
Convention?
Yeah.
Oh wow. I bet.
It's a convention. I would love to go to it.
And you should
it
was go to that.
It was in LA once and I missed it.
Oh,
and,
there
but
you
to go. Then I'd have to travel to another city and stay in a
put
hotel. And then I have a 12-year-old daughter and I hang out
gonna...
for 4 days. And, you know.
Right. Well, you could go for three.
I have to have money when I do that. Though.
Right. You'd have to have money
because
you
want to buy stuff.
You want to buy stuff. But imagine 3 days when you're just sitting around talking to people who only want to talk to knitting.
But, you know, here's the anxiety in that.
Yeah.
Is being there and trying to, and allowing myself to get lost in that and then having to go back to my life and get caught up with everything else. I mean, that's insane. That's future. That's living in the future.
That's yeah.
Living
that's
in the present.
Right. That is a future that has not happened.
That's right.
But let me tell you something
yes,
about
dear.
Comic book conventions
yes.
and anime
oh,
conventions.
Oh, you're good with conventions. That's
I go
right.
to, I go to any number of conventions mm-hmm. and you can sit around with somebody and they will go down a rabbit hole
of
I love that. Marvel and DC and it is amazing. And then you leave and you feel a real loss. Because
yeah.
you're like, I connected
I know.
With other people who love something as much as
I
love. So I would recommend you.
I really
you
should
wouldn't
do
lose
this.
It. You wouldn't lose anything for it. You would gain something
I
for
should.
It.
I should. I mean, when I have
it's
some
worth
money,
saving
when I have
up for.
Some money to spare, I should do that. And also, you know, when you get that feeling, oh, I want this cup. This Subway MTA cup.
Yeah,
oh,
I
that.
Yeah, we got six of them for when it's a pint glass.
I would like that.
All right. Well, I might have
that's
two.
New York.
Yeah.
When you're connecting with people on that intense level about something that you have such passion about.
Right.
For me, I feel like no. Inkling of depression, of worry,
right.
of anxiety, because everything is all about love.
You're just,
you know?
You're connected.
Yeah. And it's
that connection is incredibly powerful.
It really makes everything feel okay,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if I could try to find that each day in my life, obviously I'm not going to find it all day.
Right.
But have pockets of that love mm-hmm. in each day. I'd be a much happier and healthier person. I really would.
Yeah. But yeah. there's no reason not to sort of, I think that's why there are threat, you know, there are Facebook groups and,
yes.
and there,
yes.
there are things like that where you
yes.
can just, you can go down that rabbit hole
yes.
online verbally.
Last night I came home. I did a really wonderful show called Break or Broken. Mm-hmm. Michelle Miracle does it. It's a storytelling show.
Okay.
At the Garage in Culver City.
Okay.
And I loved the show. I had only seen it once. I went down to see it just because I wanted to get out and do something and
yeah.
see some friends work. And it was wonderful. And it's all about heartbreak. Anything
oh,
that's broken your heart. And it's very, it can be very funny. It can be very poignant. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be about a romance. Could be about, that's tons of things that break your heart in yeah, life.
People lose a dog and they're out of their minds.
Yeah. And you, or you find out that something you believed wasn't true.
Feet of clay. You know, feet of clay.
Oh, that's what it is?
Yeah.
Is that what that means?
Well, that's what that means.
Oh,
it's like
wow.
so, someone that you believed in
yeah.
is human.
Or something that you believed in.
Right. Is flawed.
As in a myth or yes. Santa Claus or whatever, something like
sure.
that.
Sure.
Yeah, you find out that it's, you go to the, you go visit something in Hollywood, the set of a show that you loved, and it's all
right.
fake.
Right.
You know, anything.
anything.
Anyway, it's a very broad amount that you can go through. But so I did this last night, and I drove home, and I wanted to eat something, and I started, everybody else was asleep, everybody, I mean, meaning my husband and my daughter, the whole
right.
pack of them were asleep.
Right, right.
And so I turned on, I had been watching Bessie with Queen Latifah because I'd never seen it. And I was in the middle of it. And I got so, so involved in it that I stayed up way too late and I
sure.
finished it. It's a wonderful, if you can catch it, it's so wonderful.
TV show, movie?
It's an HBO movie. And
nice.
So beautifully done and so well, so beautifully performed. And she is such an amazing talent. I remember working with her years ago.
Queen Latifah?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Oh my God. She's such an amazing talent.
There was
talent.
A romantic comedy. I just saw Christmas with her that I can't remember the name of, but there's absolutely nothing wrong with that movie. It's about, she thinks she has a terminal disease and people are yelling at their iPods because they remember it.
Oh.
But, she doesn't, but she decides to live her life to the fullest and take all of her savings and go to the most expensive, like 1% kind of ski
right.
resort. And Gerard Depardieu is in it.
Oh.
And it is very, it's very life affirming and very beautiful. You would like it. It's sweet.
I probably would. And there's another movie that I'd seen her in with Holly Hunter, one which I loved called Living Large or something. Oh, I have to look it up. It's about a woman whose husband leaves her, and then she meets Queen Latifah, who's a singer in this place. And
oh, neat!
And it's wonderful. Wonderful.
Queen Latifah.
Romantic and she's very talented. Her voice is incredible.
Right.
She's a wonderful actress.
Right.
Oh
so,
my God.
Hey, if you guys have work for Queen Latifah out there, we'd like to recommend that.
That's right. So, Bessie, so I stayed up too late, which is why I'm a little tired this morning, but this
right.
was very invigorating.
So, now
Jackie,
where are you going to be here? In, you're mostly doing stand up and shows here in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah, because the most of my energies is going towards memorizing and getting my show. I'm at the last stages of memorization now.
And when's your show going up here in Los Angeles as well?
It's taken so long. I'm going to start workshopping it here, so I'm not going to tell anybody where it's going to be quite yet.
So people follow at Kathy Ladman on Twitter, and
yes.
then you'll find out when it's all solid.
Yes, or KathyLadman.com. I
sure.
also have a website which is kind of like a placeholder at this point. But once my show is up, I'll be putting a lot more things on it. DoesThisShowMakeMeLookFat.com.
DoesThisShowMakeMeLookFat.com. Very funny.
Yeah. That's about
That's
it.
About it.
That's about it.
Find Kathy Ladman and watch
yeah,
her talk out of her joke hole.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I'm loving doing some local shows.
Excellent. Thank you so much for coming on the Dork Forest.
So much fun.
All right, you guys, you know the rules. Take care of each other out there.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?